Welcome to People in Exile, where we have conversations, host interviews, discuss books, and engage with the Bible to help believers live out their faith in an unbelieving world.
Welcome to this episode of People in Exile. I'm your host, as always, Christopher Chambers, and I'm here with...
Ben Ellis,
yes. And we are doing this a little bit differently. We're not in our podcast studio this evening. We're actually recording from home. Practicing our social distancing per the coronavirus, COVID-19 situation that we're dealing with. Andrew Chamberlain was not able to join us this evening, so it's just Ben and I again. Thank you, Ben.
You're so welcome. It's my pleasure to be here, as always.
Now, we're hopeful that the audio will be good and that we'll be able to use this and edit it and so on and so forth. That is yet to be determined. This is really the first episode that we've recorded using this medium. And if it works, it's going to open the door for us to be able to record and interview folks really around the country and potentially even, you know, beyond. Like we had Dr. Pryor had an interview scheduled, or we haven't scheduled it yet. But we had an interview lined up for her. We just haven't figured out how to get that done. This may allow us to do that. So anyhow, we're looking forward to that. Now, some business real quick. In our last episode, we were talking about the Jacksonville Pastors Conference. We're giving away a book for called Thanking God at His Word by Kevin DeYoung. And we're giving that to Ashley Moffitt Stollard. So Ashley, if you could reach out to us, get us a good address for you. If you just want to private message us with that information, we'll get that sent over to you right away. So we do appreciate you liking the People in Exile Facebook page. We certainly want to encourage everybody who listens to do the same. This week, what we're going to be giving away for this particular episode is a copy of J.I. Packer's, some people call it a classic. Would you agree with that, Ben?
I would certainly agree with it. This is a wonderful classic read for anybody, really at any stage of their walk in the Christian life, just to kind of know and engage with God more.
Yeah, and it's called, of course, Knowing God. That's the book title by J.I. Packer that we'll be giving away. So if you would like, share, comment, even any of those things, would be great. Also, if you whatever your podcast catcher is, the podcatcher app that you use, if you wanted to put some 5-star ratings, that would be cool too, with some comments. We definitely we'll pull from that pool, and we'll give away a copy of Knowing God to someone for this particular episode. All right. With that out of the way, Ben, you reached out to me, and again, I just wanted to mention too, we knew the beginning of 2020 was going to be a little bit tough just with schedules and everything, and unfortunately, it's been even tougher, right? Even more difficult as a result of the coronavirus outbreak, and so we're doing this here again. This what we're using this online platform. If it works out well, this will allow us probably to be able to get even more. To be able to do this so we can get regular episodes out. Would you agree with that, Ben?
Yeah, no, I think it'd be, and it's going to be a great tool, I think, for us. And I think it's the more that we can engage not only with one another, but also help just kind of engage with you and make stuff available to you is an exciting opportunity for us personally, as well as just a really great opportunity just for us as a community of faith to come together and support one another. So I'm excited about seeing if this could work. Also because I think as we kind of work through some of this process, it'll help us in terms of being able to maybe communicate and do more interviews that we wouldn't be able to do because we won't be able to get them into our home studio per se.
Right. No, absolutely. Now, excuse me. with this episode, Ben and I kind of talked through kind of what we wanted to, how we want to discuss. There's obviously thousands of ways we can go with this, right, Ben? As far as topics. That's, there's so many options. We kind of just are going the who, what, when, where, why kind of model. And we've got some questions here. So Ben, I'll just kind of line up the question and then you respond accordingly. And then we'll just kind of, you know, go back and forth on that. And that's basically what it's going to look like. Any other kind of information that you wanted to mention for this episode before we get started?
No, I think we're good. I think that's a great setup for it. And just remember that, you know, kind of as we're going through this, we're really kind of engaging with just the idea of who we are as a community and how we're kind of dealing with our current set of circumstances. So while we're going to be answering some of these questions, like specifically to our current moment, our current cultural moment, remember that these are the same kind of questions that we want to ask in every cultural moment. As we kind of walk through this as, you know, as a people in exile, as a people who are trying to live our faith in a meaningful way in the culture in which we live.
So, we'll start with kind of, you know, who are we, right? Obviously, as the church, and, you know, I'll just start us with, you know, Jeremiah 29:7, like you said, kind of going back to the point here of this whole podcast. It says this in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. Of course, you know, we've discussed this in previous episodes as far as, you know, the context of this particular verse. The idea is, of course, we know this was Israel here. We're kind of taking that, adopting that as the church. Certainly we live in a similar situation. You said something earlier before we started recording, which I thought was super interesting. We're kind of with this coronavirus and the quarantine and the lockdowns that we see across the country, really across the globe. We see over in Italy in particular, in China, different places. We find ourselves kind of like exiles, and we're exiled to our own homes, right?
Yeah, correct. So and that really is true, is that because we think about sort of just this fact that we, you know, we kind of go about our day-to-day lives and we kind of go through this, and then that, you know, we go to work, we go to school, we go to, you know, to our favorite, you know, ballparks or movie theaters or restaurants or whatever. And now we find ourselves in a little bit different situation. We find ourselves exiled really to our own home, confined to our own homes in a lot of ways. And it really, one of the things that struck me as Chris and I were talking about doing this particular episode was that in many ways, the feeling that we have now about being stuck in some ways in our own homes, we ought to really have the same kind of feeling every day, because in a lot of ways we are exiled to a place that we don't belong. In some ways, you know, as believers in Christ, we believe that we've been changed, that we've been transformed, that we're citizens of heaven, that we're you know, members of the kingdom of God, but that we don't consider ourselves, we don't think of ourselves as a part of the community where we are. Purely as a part of the community where we are, but we consider ourselves as something other and different. And really now I think we ought to take that same feeling that we have now, some of that same tension that we have of being confined in our own home, and really kind of apply that to the rest of our life as well. Because in a lot of ways, there ought to be this tension, this sort of older writers have referred to it as a holy discontent, a dissatisfaction with where we are in the world. Because this is not our home. We still live and still long for something better. Lewis talked about a high country, particularly in a book called The Great Divorce, which is a wonderful read for anybody who wants to stop it and read that. But the idea just there is that we're pursuing something onward, something higher, something greater. And that's really where we ought to be aiming at. So as we think about ourselves as people in exile, we really need to, this I think is a great self-reflective opportunity for us to think of, if this is where I am now, and this is the discontent that I have right now. Now, for some of us, our Netflix playlists haven't eclipsed themselves. We haven't made it through all the Disney Plus movies. But at some point in the near future, all those kind of entertainment value things are going to fall away, and we're going to have to start beginning to re-engage with our culture. We're going to have that desire to re-engage with our culture in meaningful ways again. And that's really where we need to be thinking about ourselves every day. Even after this, everything that's going on with the coronavirus is over, we need to be thinking meaningfully about, why am I not discontent in the world in which I live when this is not where I was designed to be? Yeah. And I think that as we are a people, we need to be thinking that we need to let that shape us a little bit more.
Yeah, again, we're home, right? But we're not really home just yet, like you were saying there, Ben. The other thing I did want to mention is obviously we're kind of talking about this. We have the capital C church, right? The global church. We're really talking about it from a kind of a local church context, right? That's the context in which we live, right? And so a lot of the things that we'll be discussing will come from that context. We'll try to have a bigger picture kind of outlook, but in our day-to-day functioning, it's going to be in that local church context. Now, the next thing is the what. Now, as you know, Ben and I were discussing before we started recording, you know, obviously it's the coronavirus, it's COVID-19. You know, exactly what this is. In some ways, it seems like this is something that we're still trying to figure out exactly what this is. You know, there I've read some things regarding some, you know, there's some mutations or whatever that's taking place as well, which is making this thing even more difficult to combat. But we're not scientists. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a medical professional. I don't even want to pretend to be one. And because of that, we're going to leave that what to those folks who know best. What we're going to discuss, the what is our response? What should our response be? What has our response been? And what is our response, you know, going to look like kind of moving forward? So, you know, what are we doing in the midst of this really life-altering situation? I mean, I don't know that anyone 2 weeks ago could have looked and said, oh, this is what, you know, the entire world is going to look like in just 2 short weeks. I mean, completely different, right? The things that we're dealing with today. And so, are we living as hope? You know, is that what we're presenting to those folks, whether it be on social media, right, with our family, our friends, employees, employers, coworkers? That's kind of the thing we want to discuss a little bit. So Ben, with that being said, what is our response? What should our response be? What is our response going to look like moving forward? Where do you want to go with that?
I really think honestly, just the way that you phrase the question, I think really kind of breaks it up in a lot of very meaningful ways. I think first of all, as a capital C church, as a global church, I think we have a certain responsibility to the community in which we live to still remember that we are the church and we have hope in the shape and the flavor that no secular organization, no secular perspective is going to be able to offer, because we understand that in Christ, God is continuing to move and to work in the lives of people, and that there is hope at the end of this process. And in the midst of all that, we recognize that God is still in control. God has not been dethroned by coronavirus or COVID-19 or whatever we want to call it. This is just another thing that we're doing. So I think we have a meaningful and reasonable question to start asking, which is, if God is still enthroned, then why, you know, what are we dealing, you know, why are we dealing with this? And I think that's a conversation we're going to deal with here in just a little bit. But the other thing is, as a what question, though, what are we doing? I think the first thing we need to be doing is we need to be still portraying that we are a people of hope. I think in terms of social media spheres, and I think in terms of just conversations with coworkers and everything else, other family members, I think the people we need to be is we need to continue to be a people of hope. One of the things that I love about Peter in 1 Peter 3:15, he says, but first sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to give a defense for a hope, for the hope that is within you. Yeah. Yet with gentleness and reverence. And I think that's the idea that I think in so many ways we need to latch on to right now, because there is a hope that we have. And Peter's statement really is, the inside of Peter's statement, there is an assumption that the way that the people he was writing to lived displayed a kind of hope that their peers didn't recognize. Yeah. And I think on so many levels, that's so important for us as the capital C church, like every believer in Christ, to live in such a way that we are not fearful, but rather that we have hope, even if it is an eschatological hope or an end of times hope in which we know that Jesus is going to return and everything is going to go, all the anxiety, all the struggles, all the stress that we're dealing with right now are going to go away. But I think we even have a present hope as well. But the point of all that is saying, I'm beginning to run over myself with like five different conversations all at once. So let me just get back to the main thrust, which is this. As the capital C church, we need to be a place of hope. We need to be a people of hope. And that hope needs to resound so much in all of our life that people want to know why and what it is. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing that we have a responsibility to do is to participate well with our elected officials, mm-hmm. right? The reality of the situation is this, whether it's a buy house lockdown or whether it's limiting our involvement or limiting the number of our gatherings, none of those things really impinge upon our rights as individuals, and it doesn't impinge upon the reality of the church gathering together as the church. Now, some people will say, well, if the church is limiting it to 250 people in a space and or 10 people in a space, and, you know, what if the church is, you know, 2,000 members large? My answer is, who cares? Because quite frankly, when you look at the book of Acts, there were two kinds of gatherings. There were temple courts and there were house-to-house gatherings. And this just means that for the time and the place of the church, right now we focus on the house-to-house gatherings, right? We focus on those small group meetings where we deal with one-on-one discipleship and face-to-face discipleship and encouragement of one another. And all of our churches aren't equipped great to do that. But that's one of the things that I think has come as a positive because of this virus, is we're finding new and better ways to do some of that, which I think in many ways leads into what the local church is doing. But I want to finish this conversation real quick about participating and engaging with local authorities. We recognize, you know, in Romans 13, Paul tells us very quickly that, you know, we need to let every person be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not our terror to are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. And I think really the thing that we need to focus on here is that, you know, the people who are engaged in local politics are, I think, doing their best to try to serve our community. And I think the best thing that we can do as a local church and as a global church is to partner with those authorities, you know, because the truth is if we can partner with them, they can see the witness of the church, right? And if they're constantly having to run down churches, and if they're constantly having to break up church meetings because they're disrupting or ignoring the stuff set apart by the church, that's going to cause problems for the church. That causes the church to have an awful reputation in the life of its community. And I just don't think those are the people that we want to be. I don't think that's the people that the church calls us to be. And I think, further, just from a more pragmatic standpoint, if we're participating with and engaging with the local government, that's actually going to give us more credibility with the local governments and give us a better leg to stand on when we say, how can we help? You know?
I just wanted to kind of mention, you know, Jeremiah is the pre-exilic period, right? Talking about what's going to happen.
Correct.
When Israel goes in exile. You look at like Daniel, for example, and we actually did an episode on Daniel one of the earlier podcasts. But to kind of bring that back in, the Jeremiah here is telling us, right, in 29:7 to seek the welfare of the city and which are going to be exiled. So we're thinking Babylon at the time, right? Here Nebuchadnezzar comes through, wipes out Judah. The rest of Israel takes, many of the Israelites into captivity in the exile. We see Daniel, for example, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? They told here, early on, here, you're going to eat this food. They said, well, we don't feel comfortable, you know, eating that food because we feel if it violates, the law that we live by. And instead of just not living by that, what do they do? They actually go to their local authority, and say, we don't want to do this. We'd rather not. The guy's like, well, this could get me in a lot of trouble. He said, just give us 10 days. Okay, we'll give you the 10 days. And at the end of that, well, how did God respond? Well, ultimately 10 times better than anybody else they had, obviously, and that allowed them, right, as Israel to actually raise up in the government there within Babylon to have even greater responsibility and greater authority, even while in exile. At the same time, you have, let's take Daniel a little bit later. We have the decree handed down to not be praying, right? And yet, what does he do? He does that, right? He prays with the windows open. He's not hiding it. Here I am. And then he was willing to suffer the consequences of that as a result. And obviously, God was glorified in that too, right? And so the question is, okay, in our current moment, how should we respond? Again, I'm not looking to cast stones. I'm not looking to say, hey, listen, we're doing it perfectly well in our local church. Again, this is unprecedented times that we live in. And so for anybody to think, okay, we're doing it, this is the only way you should do it. Again, I think that's kind of silly to think that we've got it all figured out. With that being said, I think there are some general rules that we could probably abide by. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, that's a great way to transition just to think into, you know, what are a lot of our local churches doing? And I think some of the things that we're doing at our church are very emblematic of what a lot of local churches are doing. First of all, a lot of local churches are going to live streams. So if you're, you know, if you have access to the internet, which if you're listening to this, you probably do, go ahead and connect with, you know, whatever your local church is doing in terms of a live stream. Excuse me. Whether that means just catching up with them on their live stream. A lot of churches are doing small groups via really kind of what we're doing right now in terms of just this, in terms of just doing sort of a meeting kind of thing, whether it be on Zoom or whether it be Microsoft Teams, or there's a couple of different products out there that are all trying to do some of the same kind of things. And it's good to, you know, so connect with your local church and figure out what they're doing as well. You know, one of the things we're trying to figure out at Northcliffe is we're trying to figure out Facebook groups. We're trying to figure out Zoom meeting. And there's a couple of different venues that we're trying to test the waters with and see what works well in terms of small groups. And I think that's a great way to do it too. A lot of churches are offering free resources online. I know that next week, part of the schedule, if we don't go on lockdown, next week, a lot of my schedule is going to be filming small group leaders, just in terms of teaching their class, filming them teach their class so that we can offer that available to their class. They can email it to their class. We're going to post it on our website. We're probably going to post it to social media. So we just have all these different places where people are beginning to engage with resources. Not that I want to overly plug any corporation whatsoever, but right now, they've got a great deal where they've got a limited library where normally you have to have a membership to get in. You don't even have to have a membership to get in right now. They've published a limited library of resources that you can use just as a believer. And that's just rightnowmedia.org. So, I mean, just there are a lot of different places out there that are trying very hard in terms of the local church, just to kind of connect well with their people and be resources to the church.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then, you know, the other thing that I wanted to mention, you know, as far as just talking about a response, we've talked through some of those things. For example, just a kind of a question. Obviously, we're in a situation right now where we have no idea, right, where this came from. Started in China, from what we understand, right? There's discussion about malicious intent, right? There's discussion out there of obviously it's being politicized, right? I feel like we're starting to see less and less of that as the seriousness seems to be increasing. We're starting to see less and less of that. But again, it's there, right? And every decision that's made, good or bad, is politicized. And so because of that, we live in a polarized society, and that hasn't gone away, right? Right. On the other side of this, maybe we're a little less polarized. Again, that would be fantastic, right? The theme
would be nice, yeah.
Was going to be unity, or is unity, right, for people in exile. So if we were even a little bit more unified as a nation, as a world, is that a bad thing? I would say no, that's probably not a bad thing if we're a little bit more unified. But with that being said, we all have, you know, access to social media, whether it be Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. I mean, there's all kind of different social media platforms out there that folks can use. As the church, Ben, what would you say as far as, you know, has our responsibility changed at all as far as how we interact on Facebook or on social media? Or would you say that it's the same and we still have to make wise decisions?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to be overly critical of the church in any respect, because I'm part of the life of the church is, you know, as I'm a pastor here at one of our local churches. But the truth is that I think one of the most positive things to come out of the coronavirus or the COVID-19 issue that we're facing right now is the reality that the church has had to dynamically shift how it engages with social media just in general. Like I mentioned just a few minutes ago, a lot of churches are offering live streams for their worship services on Sunday mornings. They're offering, you know, one church I saw, their pastor is doing a daily devotional every day on social media. So it is, it has forced the church, I think, to leverage technology in social media in a way that it never has before. And I think that's a positive thing. I think it's something that the church absolutely needs to do and needs to do well. One of the guys who I absolutely love reading, other than C.S. Lewis, is a guy named Francis Schaeffer. And one of the reasons why Schaeffer has always been so interesting to me is that he was always trying to grapple with the forefront of the culture that he was in. And I think that what we've entered right now is a moment where we need to grapple with the moment that the culture is in as a church. And we need to be able to, we need to reach out to and reach out in a way that we're speaking effectively to the culture. And I think one of the things that means the church has to do has to be, we have to start leveraging digital media and social media in meaningful ways to engage the culture in which we're in. Now, part of that is going to mean that we're going to have to step out of our comfort zones. A lot of us in church are comfortable. We like our Sunday mornings. We like our Sunday school or our life group or small group or whatever name that your particular church uses. And we like our Sunday morning worship and we like those things and we like them the way that they were. But the reality is that now we're at this really interesting moment in the life of our culture where the church has the opportunity to fundamentally shift its impact by switching to a more social media, more digital output.
Yeah, and when you say that, again, I agree with you 100%. The church has an opportunity here to really have a significant impact. Absolutely agree with that 100%. I heard one of the governors here just in the last few days, you know, I heard him say this. He said, right now he's having to make choices, right? He feels like he's having to make choices between lives and livelihood, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Makes sense, right?
Absolutely it does.
Do I want to maintain the lives of those in my state, right? Do I want to maintain the livelihood of those in my state? You know, ultimately, his conclusion was, well, you can't have a livelihood if you don't have your life, right?
And correct.
So right now, the goal is to sustain and maintain lives, right? And then we'll work on getting the livelihood back to where it was in the future. And hopefully that's in the not too distant future, right? That we're able to do that. Mm-hmm. I say all that just to say that the church has an opportunity. There's going to be individuals hurting from a health standpoint. There's obviously going to be many, many individuals hurting from a financial standpoint, right? All mm-hmm. of these things, our prayer as the church should be that God will use all of these things, right? Think Romans 8:28 will use these things, right? To draw right individuals to him during this period of time. That's certainly a prayer that I have for the church. Now, the question is, are we as a church, whether we're engaging in social media or anywhere else, are we responding to this in a way that those around us, like you said earlier, are looking at the church, looking at us and saying, I want that, right? There seems to be a piece that for the King James folks, passeth understanding, right? They have that, and I want that. I don't understand that. How could you be at peace amidst all the chaos? Well, again, that's because we know the creator, right, of all. We know who is in control, who sustains everything that there is. And so are we providing that hope? Are we providing that peace to those around us, or are we contributing to more chaos? And so I would say, just be careful, right? When whatever it is that you're doing, whatever you're saying, whatever thoughts you have, and again, definitely not trying to say, oh, you should limit your dialogue, or you limit the conversations that you have, or limit the thoughts you have. No, by all means, again, we live in a country by the grace of God that we have the freedom of speech and say anything that you would like. But again, we also understand that as people in exile here, for our context in the United States, we do want to be pointing individuals to Christ, right, and not putting up more barriers that are going to inhibit individuals to get there. So that's all I would say from that standpoint, kind of our responsibility during this time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think you're absolutely right, because if we are being a source of contentiousness, contentiousness is not peace.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's just the way that it is. So we as the church cannot be a source of contentiousness. Now, there's again, and I think we've talked about this before, there is a way to lovingly disagree with people, even with, you know, we were talking about Romans 13 earlier. There is a way to lovingly and carefully disagree with even your elected authorities and say, hey, look, I'm concerned about this. And the truth is going back to you know, to the point there too, was that the more we engage with our authorities on the goal of seeking the welfare of the city, seeking the good, the common good, is another way that we could say that too. The more that we engage with our local authorities on seeking the common good, the more they're willing to hear us out in those kinds of conversations and allow us to be a part of that. So yeah, I agree. We need to be a source of hope. We need to be a source of peace. We need to be a source of contentiousness. The church does not need to be, or we need to not be a source of contentiousness in our culture.
The next question we wanted to kind of throw around is this. It's, you know, where are we at this point in time, right? Where is the church right now? And, you know, we obviously you can answer that a lot of different ways. One way that I've heard a lot here recently is just a reminder to us that a church is not a building, right? A church is not four walls with a roof. That's simply the place in which many local congregations, local churches meet, right? But the church is the same place they were before we were exiled to our homes, right?
Correct.
The church is in their homes. The church is in their communities. The church is in their places of business. The church is in their schools, so on and so forth. Did you want to talk to that anymore as far as that piece?
No, I think that's really good. I just wanted to just throw out there a quick cliche that we had when we were living over in Kissimmee, we had a pastor, and I love the way he said this. He closed this every sermon out with this. He says, "Well, now you've come to church, time to go be the church." Yeah. And I think that's where we are in this cultural moment. Just like you said, the church has never been about four walls and a roof. The church has always been about people. When you look at the New Testament, you look at Acts and you look at everything else that's going on there, you don't see a series of building programs. What you see is a series of people telling other people about Jesus and walking along beside them in discipleship and growing in understanding what the Word of God is and who God is and how they can continue to encourage others and greet others with the gospel and introduce people to Jesus. That's what the church is. It's who the church needs to be.
Yeah, and you see, you know, say not a bunch of building programs, and yet, but what you do see is the Holy Spirit, God moving through the Holy Spirit through His church to build His church, right?
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
Now, I did want us to just kind of talk briefly. I think we could go on and on and on, kind of speaking eschatologically, right, about where the church is at this moment. We don't know. And so I want us to take a step back. Before we get there, I did want to mention this, kind of where, as the church, right, knowing Matthew 28:19-20, right, the Great Commission, where do we practice the Great Commission under our current circumstances? How?
Well, I think.
Go ahead.
I think the reality is that where we practice the Great Commission is where we should have been practicing the Great Commission all along. Mm-hmm. We need to be practicing the Great Commission in our neighborhoods. We need to be practicing the Great Commission with our neighbors. We need to be practicing the Great Commission with our with our coworkers. And while we can't say, hey, look, we'll come, you know, gather with me at such and such a place and such and such a time. We can say, hey, why don't you come to our house Sunday morning? We're going to watch church together. Hey, why don't you come over for breakfast, you know, you and your family, and we'll just hang out together. And, you know, those are some easy ways to practice the Great Commission. Here's some other easy ways to practice the Great Commission. You know, your neighbor has run out of toilet paper and you bought the three Sam's cases. I mean, that's a perfect place. You know, hey, look, you know, share a case of Sam's toilet paper. And for those of you who have like 144 cases of toilet paper out there, God bless you. You've got some great mission work ahead of you because there are lots of different easy options just to partner with the resources that you have, and they don't have to be lavish or expensive or anything else. I think especially when everybody's closed down, I think it's the easiest thing to do.
Real quick about the toilet paper piece. I saw somebody post something online the other day where they were actually in putting in the mail, an 8-pack or 12-pack of toilet paper, sending it via U.S. mail. To a family member who didn't have any toilet paper. Again, just kind of a reminder that in certain times, you know, money, right, isn't everything, right? There's going to be some things that are. Go ahead.
I just keep wondering how they're going to get that in the mailbox, but I mean that's okay.
Yeah. I did want to mention before you move forward there a little bit. I just wanted to read, you know, the Great Commission. It says this: all authority, right, in heaven and earth has been given to me, right, Jesus. And he says, verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And then he says this, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.
Through, and I think for everything. And I think that's so, virus. Yeah, no kidding. I think that's really one of the things that we need to hold on to right now is that as we think about ways to sort of engage our community with the gospel, we need to remember first and foremost that God really is with us through the end of the age. There is no sense in which God has been surprised by coronavirus. There's no sense in which COVID-19 has taken God up. Well, you know, God's not up in heaven thinking about how he's got to readjust his mission or the mission for the church because of an illness that has come around or disease that's come around. No, this is the perfect moment to be practicing the Great Commission. It's the perfect opportunity to be having conversations with our neighbors about, you know, everything from the impermanence of life, the temporary, like ephemeral nature of life, all the way down to, you know, hey, you know, what are you doing for the next 3 days? Because we're all out of work, all out of school, all out of whatever.
Just along that, as far as the temporary nature of life, the fragility, right, of life. Again, a month ago, I would say everybody, if you want to go back further, a couple months ago, everybody would look and say, man, you know, this is society, this is culture, this is what it looks like. And there's not going to be any kind of sweeping change, right? This is where we are. Right. And yet here we are just a month, two months later, and there has been sweeping change. And the question is, well, how long will this last? Again, we don't know the answers to all those things. But again, I think it does highlight the point that it is very fragile, right? And what we mm-hmm. we oftentimes put our faith and trust in, what we often lean into, is so temporal, so temporary. And this really should help to highlight that truth, that fact, and say, oh, okay, why am I placing my faith and trust in something that's temporary instead of something that is eternal, that is everlasting, right?
Absolutely.
And so, absolutely. That's a good point you made there.
All right, so I don't even know where I was anymore. You got me off mid rant, and I don't know what to do with that now. Anyway, so just the reality that God is not taken by surprise in this, and that he really is with us till the end of the age. And one of the conversations that we're consistently having in some of the circles that we're in is you know, is this really the end times? And at some point, this in some levels is a great conversation to have within the life of the church, but in other senses, it almost doesn't matter. Like, in you know, and if you have strong opinions about the eschatology, I'm not saying that the eschatology doesn't matter. I'm not saying that, you know, the return of Jesus doesn't matter. But what I'm saying is that when you look at verses like 28:20, the end of the Great Commission, behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. It's coming. We know the end of the age is coming. The question is, what are we doing about it now?
Not when.
Yeah.
Not when, but what are we doing about it? Absolutely.
Yeah, but what are we doing about it now? I mean, sometimes we look at the prophecy about the return of Jesus, and we totally ask the wrong question. All of a sudden, we're asking for a timeline, and the timeline was never the point. Even when you look at the book of Revelations, the book of Revelation of St. John, the timeline is never the point. In fact, I think maybe sometimes that's why Revelation is as confusing as it is, because it's not the point. The point is to encourage each other with the fact that Jesus is coming. Mm-hmm. The point is to encourage one another towards good works, towards loving our neighbor, towards, you know, spreading the gospel, towards telling more people about Jesus, because that's the point. Yeah. The point is that Jesus is coming, and there's a day when there aren't going to be any more opportunities to accept Jesus as your savior. There aren't going to be any more opportunities to love your neighbor as yourself in this context, so that we can bring them and introduce them to Jesus through the gospel. This is the time. Now is the time. Now is the place. COVID-19 in some ways makes no difference other than the fact that it has given us a better platform for sharing the hope of the gospel than we've had. And quite frankly, it takes away a lot of our excuses for not sharing the gospel. Because guess what? Now you do have time to talk to your neighbor. Now we do have time because our neighbor's about the only people we can talk to starting, you know, if we end up in a lockdown. You know, we have a limited frame of reference in terms of just being able to engage with our employers. Now's the time, our employees or our coworkers or whomever. Now's the time to share the gospel, not to huddle around and be afraid of a virus. Behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Let us take hope in the gospel and in the presence of Christ, and let's just share the gospel wherever we have opportunity.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And just almost done with this particular episode. Just kind of wanted to end kind of where we started, really, and that is the why, right? Just a reminder of the why we're doing what we are doing. Again, we read the text, Jeremiah 29:7 earlier. Again, just a reminder that we are, this is our home, yet it's not our home, right? We're only passing through.
That's right.
We want to encourage one another. We want to encourage each other to keep that in mind every day. Just like you were saying, Ben, it does, you know, as far as whether this is the end or not, again, it doesn't matter in the sense that we are to be living in such a way as if it is right now, each and every
day. That's right.
Coronavirus. Yeah. That's the way we are, that this is the last day I live on the earth. And how am I going to glorify God best? How am I going to, you know, what is it that God's calling me to do in order to pick up my cross and follow him, right? Wherever he may lead. So that should be our, you know, our goal, right? Each and every day. So with that being said, kind of big picture here, Ben, with the discussion that we've had, coronavirus, COVID-19,
absolutely.
The church, the local church, all of those things, What would you like to mention kind of in closing here for any local church, anyone who may be listening?
Well, I think the big thing that we need to say for anyone listening is that now, as much as ever, but more importantly now is the opportunity for us to really engage with the gospel, right? There are more resources than ever online and free, right? Engage with people around you. Invite them to free live stream worship services. Invite them to use free discipleship materials that are on church websites. If you can't find any on your church website, use Northcliffe's website, because northcliffeonline.org, we have resources specifically for people who cannot get out and about. Now is such an amazing time for us to start using the resources around us, using the digital footprint that we've stepped into or had to been forced to step into. Now's the time to share the gospel. Now's the time. Now is the opportunity. We got to step into it. This is a time for the church to have an overwhelming impact of hope and joy and comfort in the life of a culture that is extremely worried, that is extremely concerned, and everything else going on. It is such a great time for us as the church to be able to step into that and meaningfully say, this is who we are. This is the gospel that we have. This is the grace that we've been given. This is the hope that we have. Now's the time. I think that's the biggest thing more than anything else as we deal with the coronavirus, and whether it's dealing with our neighbor or engaging with our neighbor, engaging with authorities, engaging with the church on via an online context, encouraging our pastors, whatever else that we can do. Now is just a brilliant moment of time for us to really step in as a people of the gospel and have impact in our communities.
Well, Ben, thank you for joining me for this episode of People in Exile. If you wouldn't mind just closing this episode with a word of prayer.
Oh yeah, always. Absolutely. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the day that you have given us. And Father, we don't say that rotely. We don't say that tersely, but Father, we're grateful for the day that you've given us, a day that you have enlarged us by forcing us, letting us step into a moment of worship that was different from the way that we normally worship, by giving us a moment to step in and see more and more opportunities for us to share the gospel with our neighbor, to share the gospel with our friends, to share the gospel with our family members. And Father, we thank you first and foremost for the gospel. Because without it, we'd be so separated from you. And we're just grateful, God, that you have built a way for us to have a meaningful relationship with you, to love you and to be engaged with you. And God, we just pray that as we go throughout this week, that your spirit would continue to move inside of us, shaping us more into the image of the Son, but opening our hearts and our mind and our eyes to what you have laid before us, the opportunities that you have laid for us, opportunities you have laid before us to declare the goodness and the excellencies of your great love for us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray, God, that you would just make that such a deep and burning passion for all of us, that you would use it to impact our communities in ways we had never thought possible before. But because of your great love, because you are with us till the end of the age, and because you have called us to seek the highest good, the welfare of our city, that God, we would see you do amazing things. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much, Ben.
Thank you, sir. It's a privilege of being here.
As always, thank you for listening to People in Exile. For more information, visit the website, peopleinexile.com, and make sure to follow us on Facebook. Until next time, keep praying and seeking the welfare of your city.